And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Awesomania. We've just finished up some news and notes. And now, Ben, it is time to talk about the premieres of Raw and SmackDown this past week. We'll start off with Monday Night Raw with their half-pipe stage.
Good job Darby Owens in AEW, that's all I'm saying.
and not WWE, because he'd probably be skateboarding on that thing.
Yep.
Honestly, like, when I first saw the set, first off, I'm very happy that there's different sets now and that the two shows do not have the same fucking set anymore.
I'm glad.
Yeah, it gives them a different feel with that.
You know what else gives them a different feel? When Fox basically turns around to Kevin Dunn and goes, stop with all the fucking cutting. They, like, noticeably changed the editing style for SmackDown, which I was very happy about.
And we actually saw a sample of that last week on the last SmackDown on USA, because that was kind of like the demo run going in the with the move to Fox. Which was also weird having to wait like an additional 3 days just to watch SmackDown. It was like, we had been so used to Tuesday nights for a few years. So, yeah. But we'll start with Raw. You started it off with Rey Mysterio, and before he could say anything, Lesnar and Heyman came out. Heyman tried to talk, which then Rey took the microphone from him because it's like, yo, it's my time, bitch. And Lesnar destroyed Rey. And then he destroyed Dominic. Is this Lesnar?
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm only bringing this up because it's obviously going to lead up to what happened at the end of SmackDown. Next up, you had the Becky Lynch, Sasha stuff.
Right, no. Yeah. We all know that with Fox becoming a thing and how they want wrestling on Fox to be more
sports-based.
Yeah, that it was likely that Brock was going to be involved. So fucking tired of Brock Lesnar. I'm so fucking tired of it. I'm so fucking tired of it.
Yeah. I think everyone's getting tired of it. And even after what happened last night.
Remember when Brock won Money in the Bank and he was actually fun for a while?
Brock Party?
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah, it actually really was. Like, that made me want to watch Lesnar. And I don't want to watch Lesnar. Yeah. But going into the next segment, you had Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss, which had Becky come out to do commentary, which we'll keep an important note on this one for when we talk about AEW.
Yeah.
Because I actually watched back it on via DVR, Dynamite. So Becky does commentary. Sasha, during her match, starts calling out Becky, so which then Becky just stands on top of the commentator's table. And the entire time, like, it felt so awkward and uncomfortable, because you could see, like, the King, you know, Jerry Lawler, just trying to, like, Becky, you promise you want to do anything, you know, come down. You know, it was very, you could feel that Lawler was very uncomfortable having to say that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And And then obviously after the match was over, Becky and Sasha got into it, to which then...
The other thing to point out about commentary in this match is at a certain point, Becky's just stood on the announce table. And Dio Madden, God bless his cotton socks, who somehow managed to say less than Renee Young used to manage to say on Raw when Renee Young was being told to not actually talk that much, pipes up for the first thing he says in the history of him commentating on Raw. After 15 minutes of the show being on air, and says, "Does Becky usually stand on the announce table?"
And then when Becky and Sasha started fighting, Lawler, and we'll get to some stuff on this one because apparently this pissed off a lot of people on Twitter when he said it. He said, "The claws have come out." A, people were calling Jerry Lawler for being a misogynistic white person, old white person, for saying that. Yes, people were saying that on Twitter about
him. Misogynistic, I get, but I'm not sure what that's got to do with race. Other than the simple fact is he is white.
Yeah. Like, well, I'll tell you off.
It's not a racially charged statement.
Yeah. But it was thrown out there.
It's perfect. No. Calling him a misogynistic old man is perfectly viable to do with that comment, right? That's perfectly viable. It's the color part I don't understand. Yeah, I'm sure he's probably completely racist as well because he's a sexist, but...
But here's the thing, and this is another thing, like with the whole thing when Becky was standing on the table and Lawler was trying to get her off the table and say, you know, and how uncomfortable it was and how awkward it was. When he says that line too, he says it in a way where he is even uncomfortable saying that line, which makes me believe that's a line that was fed to him that he had to say. And so the people that were saying, oh, he's being misogynistic. Is it Jerry Lawler who's being misogynistic?
Let's not go there. Just,
you know, but it's just something that a lot of people on Twitter were going after him specifically about. And, you know, watching it back, it was like, he didn't feel comfortable saying that. You can kind of tell by the tone of his voice. There's a lot of stuff, and one of the key things, and I said this to you when we saw each other Wednesday for AEW, was Lawler carried Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
He really did. And, you know, we got to give it a few weeks because obviously Vic and Dio need to get their legs underneath them.
They need to gel as well.
Yeah, they need to gel as well because Vic and Dio had only done like 3 weeks of 205 Live together before coming to Raw. But Vic, on the other hand, is at least good on play-by-play because he had been doing NXT UK.
Bit of 205 Live.
And a bit of 205 Live. Actually, he had been doing 205 Live for a while.
Yeah.
Because Dio had just come in four weeks prior to replace Nigel McGuinness, who is becoming exclusive to NXT for when they went to USA. So, so at least Vic has his legs under him. It's just a matter of gelling with Dio and Jerry. And then eventually when Jerry does leave, because we don't see him doing it for very long, gelling with whoever that new third person could potentially be with them.
Or here's a staggering idea.
Two-man booth.
Much like they have on SmackDown, two-man booth.
Yep. So, which is interesting because they announced Renee Young as the third person of the SmackDown team, and they didn't use Renee Young.
No, they said she was supposed to be a special contributor. Which, if you know anything about the way that Fox phrases things, that means sideline reporter.
Yep. But yeah, Lawler carried a lot of that show. And even then, Lawler was also a bit rusty, you know, because he hadn't done it at a on a long, for like a full 2-3 hour period like that in a few years. So it'll be interesting. I don't know. Raw was definitely the weakest of the four shows this week, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, Raw was definitely the weakest of the four this week. I don't think we really gained anything worthwhile out of it, especially leading into a pay-per-view.
But we'll cover that later. I think the most worthwhile thing we got out of it was a setup for something that happened on SmackDown. And that happened in the first 15 minutes. Baby.
Yeah. Oh, and while we're on it, because we're probably going to just jump to SmackDown in a minute.
Nothing else fucking happened.
Yeah. Like, you and I talked about this briefly, and this is something that bothers me because it kind of comes off as lazy on WWE's behalf, but like trying to do like these wrestler remixes, like with Asuka and Kairi Sane, where they go back and forth between the two songs. They're doing it with Corbin, where they have this really royal thing, and then they go into I am the Darkness, which is his song, and it's like, and it keeps going back and forth between the two, and it just, the flow sucks. Why?
I quite like the mashup themes.
Certain ones are really good, like when they did the Jerry Show one. Mm-hmm. Jericho Big Show, that was good. They actually re-recorded the entire song, both songs together with one band to do it, which was actually really cool. Rated RKO was cool, like the way they did Edge's music with Alter Bridge and Orton's music. Mm-hmm. With when he was still using Mercy Drive, Burning yeah. My Light, like those were cool, but like some of them just don't flow well sometimes. I don't know. That's just me. But SmackDown. First off, I want to say something about SmackDown set. Is it just me, or did it, with the way that they had the entrance set up, have kind of the original SmackDown stage vibe to it?
Yeah, it's a mix between that and like fingers coming out of the ground.
Yeah.
To call back to the fist.
Yeah, like that I really liked. And the other thing that really stood out to me watching SmackDown last night is that it looked like they're more in a stadium than they were in an arena. Mm. Like, did you notice that too? Like, in a way?
No.
Like,
because I was spending a lot of time on SmackDown, not looking at SmackDown and Googling who the fuck half the guest stars were. I'm legitimately not joking.
I know you aren't. Because I wouldn't know of half of them either. So, but to open SmackDown, which, by the way, better set than Raw's.
Oh, yeah, way better.
Way better. I love SmackDown set. You had Becky Lynch come out. And it's great to see them have the pyro and all that stuff back, because actually that was the one thing that Becky said on Raw when she did one of her segments, that it feels great to have my steam back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the line she said last night that The Rock set up, that she literally murdered Baron Corbin with. We'll get to in a moment. But yeah, Becky comes out. She talks about how, you know, how great it is to kick off the debut of SmackDown on Fox. Corbin comes out and says, no, it should be me because I am the king, which then leads us to The Rock. But the one great line was...
There was nothing great about this segment.
Not even the testicles line where Becky destroyed Barrett with?
No.
Dude, I thought that was hilarious.
No. There was nothing great about this segment. This took a dude who shows up on your program once every fucking $20 billion and put him over not only Becky Lynch, which is the single most popular female on your roster, because he felt the need to come rescue her when she was facing down Baron Corbin, but it takes Baron Corbin, a man who just ran through 15 other members of your fucking roster in order to become King of the Ring, and goes, oh, well, this movie star can beat him up. Fuck this segment.
Okay, well, we have differing opinions on that. I enjoyed it for...
You want to make it look like a legitimate sport? Like it fucking... practice and workout regime and style and repetitions and all that shit matter. Baron Corbin should have smacked the shit out of Rocky Maivia last night.
I just love the fact that you called him Rocky Maivia.
And gone, get the fuck out of my ring, you movie star motherfucker.
I really, really love the fact that you called him Rocky Maivia. But then next...
That is not how you start a show that is supposed to be a legitimate sporting presentation. Imagine, if, let's say, Brett Favre shows up. Or Dan Marino. I say Dan Marino. Shows up on an NFL pitch this weekend. And is like, I'm going to start for the New England Patriots. Everyone's going to go, no, you're not. Because Tom Brady's better than you. And practiced. And knows the playbook. And fuck this segment.
But then when we came back from commercial break, we would have our women's tag team match, Becky and Charlotte versus Sasha and Bayley. Obviously, this match was used as build going into Hell in a Cell. Hey, what the hell? They actually did a build for Hell in a Cell. What the?
No, they didn't.
Well, they did.
No, they didn't. There's no such thing as Hell in a Cell.
Oh, that's true. Nobody knows shit about it.
There's like four matches in it. But we'll get to that in
the last segment. But obviously, like, Becky versus Sasha, they have their match. One of the big takeaways is that Charlotte was able to make Bayley tap out, which
means Bayley's going to win this weekend.
Yep. So, yeah. Let's see here. We had the Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon ladder match.
Fucking finally.
Which got rid of Shane McMahon.
It removed him from SmackDown.
No. Fired from WWE. Terminated from WWE.
Yeah. Who's his daddy?
Yeah, that's true. that's true. But...
Just because someone... Like, that's what I don't get about these whole, like, we're going to fire this person. Sure, you're fired. And 3, 2, 1. You're rehired again.
Yeah. But
also, is it me or is... the loser leaves WWE. Step isn't a fucking threat anymore. Because it goes, loser leaves WWE. What is Owen Kevin doing in fucking AEW?
Yeah. But this was actually the first match where a lot of stuff got very noticeable. about some subtle changes to the presentation, i.e. when the fans were chanting holy shit, they muted the fan microphone.
Yep.
Like the audience mic, which was happening a lot. When you had the thing with Braun Strowman for the 8-man tag that did not need to happen, because what the fuck did it do except, oh, it set up a thing with some boxer dude named Tyson Fury. During the entire Tyson Fury thing, they're constantly muting and unmuting the microphones.
Who?
Some boxer. Who's about the same height as Braun Strowman, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But yeah, so, and I like how everyone was going on about like, oh, that was a shoot that boxer guy was coming over. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. All that security was already ready to jump over there. They had that planned. Like, you really think they're going to let some boxer just jump the ramp at random? Come on. Let's be serious here for a moment.
The whole point of someone jumping the barricade is that they don't let it happen.
Yeah. So, but obviously we're looking at
I don't care. Like, here's the long and the short of it, one might say. Actually, I'll talk about this in the finale.
All right.
Of this show.
But one thing I will throw out is that we'll either see Braun versus that Tyson Fury guy either at Crown Jewel or at WrestleMania. One of the two. So then you had Roman versus Rowan in a lumberjack match to help build their match at the non-existent
pay-per-view. The shittiest lumberjacks.
Yeah. And that was their lead-in for their match at pay-per-view that nobody knows about. And then you also had originally you had Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura in a champions versus champions match, which then The Fiend came out and attacked Rollins. Mm-hmm. And obviously before the match happened, Rollins came out first, and then we had the Firefly Funhouse, which was used as a way to introduce the Firefly Funhouse to everyone on Fox.
Yeah.
To which then you were talking about the thing with the Fox executives going like, what the fuck are we watching?
Yeah.
And then main event was Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston, who earlier was interviewed by Aaron Andrews, who is a sideline reporter for the NFL on Fox. And Kofi was gone within 5 seconds, which then, while Lesnar was celebrating, Rey Mysterio's music would hit, and he would come out with Cain Velasquez, who would scare Brock Lesnar. And
so there's a few things here.
Yeah. Take it away.
Let's start. Let's start with the Cain Velasquez thing. So I was led to believe through commentary that the reason that Brock was quote unquote scared of Cain Velasquez is Cain Velasquez beat Brock Lesnar
in UFC.
Right. Yeah. When did that happen? This is where you get on the Google machine, Mike.
Yeah, give me a sec. Google Brock. Apparently, I don't know how to spell Brock anymore.
Probably neither is the person running the subtitles for the blue carpet. Because that was ugly.
Okay. They fought on 2010 at UFC 121.
Right. Here's the thing. If I wanted to watch two MMA people.
Oh, and real quick, Kane defeated Lesnar.
I don't care.
With a TKO.
That doesn't matter. If I wanted to watch two MMA people fight, guess what? Guess what, Mike?
What?
I'd go watch MMA. If I wanted to go watch two MMA people fight that fought 9 fucking years ago, I'd just watch the VOD. I don't fucking care. I know that this is probably huge for some people or whatever, but holy shit, fuck me, no. And the fact that Cain Velasquez looks like a fucking Stretch Armstrong that's had like bits of his arms missing is just...
He's not even that well in shape, because that was something...
Bear in mind, I don't know who Cain Velasquez was before last night, right?
So well, no, we talked about him a little bit. No,
but because... I didn't know who he was.
Right.
Right? You guys went, there's this thing with this guy called Cain Velasquez, and I was like, burger. Because I was eating food. And y'all were talking about... And so he started coming out, and I'm like, when did Dominic shave his head?
Like, that's what everyone thought. When Mysterio's music hit, and Mysterio came out, and there's this big, tall guy with him, we're all like, wait, did Dominic shave his head? When did this happen?
Yeah, I was just like, who the fuck is that? here's another. We're back into I don't give a fuck territory. Like, I'm glad this match is going to be happening at Crown Jewel because I don't watch that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be
trick or treating because it's Halloween.
Also, can we talk about how the fact that Cain Velasquez walked down to the ring with a giant fucking knee brace around his knee?
Yeah, his left knee. Yeah.
Everyone was, and not once did Brock go, "Well, I'm just going to kick him in the knee."
Logic.
And then we get back to the finish of the match, right? So, outside of everything that I'm about to say, Kofi deserved better. He deserved way, way better than what he got. Hopefully, this isn't the end of Kofi in the title picture. Hopefully, this is going back to giving him that underdog status, blah, 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 whatever. There are several camps that people have been divided into when it comes to this finish, which is I fucking hate it because Kofi got punked out, right? I fucking hate it because Brock has the title back, and I fucking hate it because they let Seth get a bunch of offense in and even beat Brock Lesnar, but Kofi gets beat in 5 seconds. And then I love it because Brock Lesnar. The last one is the smallest. And a lot of people who...
Well, there's also one more camp.
Okay.
And that is the camp of, thank God it's off of Kofi. Because Kofi was a horrible champion. Which is also a small camp.
Patently untrue.
Yeah. Like, I thought Kofi was a great champion.
Done better than fucking Seth has.
Yep. Hands down better than Seth has.
That being said, I hope they don't put the title on The Fiend.
We're both in agreement on that one, too.
So, Lance Storm has come out in defense of this whole ending, right? And he says, in MMA, when a fighter charges across the cage and gets caught with a flying knee and loses in 7 seconds, fans will scream, lucky shot. Analysts will say, we didn't really learn anything. Who knows what could happen in a rematch because the guy got caught. Anyone can get caught. If you're unhappy today with what happened between Kofi and Brock, that's on you. You want a sports presentation? You got one. I said the same thing when Goldberg beat Brock and Brock got zero offense. If you get any offense in, you didn't get caught, you got beat. Okay? So the argument here is this is just something that happens in sports and Kofi got caught unawares and just got beat. Right?
That's a fair sentiment because there is...
No, it's not. Because the opening promo of the show proved to you this isn't a sports show. I told you this was going somewhere.
But, well, no. From
You cannot open your show by proving it is not a sports fucking show by proving that it's not fucking set up that way. You can't start your show and pivot the you can't start the entire run of your TV program on your network with a segment that makes your wrestlers, it proves that your wrestlers aren't, that wrestling isn't a quote unquote normal sport, and then have the result of your main event be like, anyone can get caught on any given Sunday. No! You can't have it both ways.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
In regards to this, is it fair to say that when it comes to SmackDown on Fox, that this is going to be the double-edged sword that's going to have to be walked along, given how, yes, it's sports entertainment, but it's they're trying to go with a sports presentation over an entertainment
Let me ask you a genuine question, right? What would have been more interesting here, right? The night to play out as it did, or in that first segment when The Rock comes out, either A, you just let Becky and Baron fight and then have The Rock come out and cut a promo later, right?
Right.
Or when The Rock comes out and starts getting in Baron Corbin's face, Baron Corbin smacks the shit out of Dwayne.
Think about
that for a minute. Think about the fucking headlines that would make.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, I think the thing is that the going to your first part of the question with the Becky Baron thing, I don't think that part would have flied because of the tag team match that she was going to be in. So your second option
leads to the unpredictable nature of sports.
Yeah,
which then leads to Kofi getting beat in 5 seconds in the main.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, and it does make sense. And actually, one thing, you know, because I was agreeing with the sentiment that Lance Storm was bringing up, which is what, you know, he was talking about, because ironically...
Oh, I agree. It's fine. It is fine if they want to have Kofi just got caught, right?
Yeah.
That's fine. But you can't have both. You cannot.
And here's the thing. It's the first episode on Fox.
Doesn't matter. It does not matter. If it is your first episode on Fox, it is supposed to be A, your best foot forward, and B, your fucking mission statement.
I'm interested in seeing what happens in the weeks to come.
I didn't say I'm not.
I know, and I get 100% what you're saying. It's your first impression, all that stuff. It's just like, you know, for my instance, going into a job interview.
We're going to talk about this when we get to AEW.
Yeah, in the next segment. And I completely agree with you on that. But I think also at the same time, the Fox's actors were like, we want The Rock. And this is what you get when you get The Rock. Yes.
And you absolutely could still have had The Rock.
Yeah.
Just have him show up and cut a fucking promo.
Duel would probably worked a lot better. You keep the Becky Baron bit on to open the show. And you let them go at it. You take out the 8-man tag that you didn't need.
And you put The Rock's promo.
And you put The Rock there. Yeah. It would have worked a lot better. And actually, there's one thing that we kind of glazed over real quick that we didn't talk about. Real quick, when they did the official debut on Fox, the first thing we actually see is Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon. And Vince welcomes everyone to Fox, SmackDown on Fox. What did you think about that? Just from a perspective, technically, that is the first thing we actually saw on SmackDown Fox. Just it's just like one of those kind of made sense type deals.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I just want to throw that out there because we kind of glazed over that little fact. The intro videos for both Raw and SmackDown, I will give the edge to Raw. Mm-hmm. I like Legendary by Skillet. I like the fact that they utilized the band as part of the video like they did with Union Underground.
Yeah.
I really dig that video. Obviously, also something that we should all keep in mind is that the draft is next week, starting on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So who knows what type of clusterfuck next week's SmackDown and the following Raw are going to look like.
Yeah.
So, but because of the way that they're going to present it like an actual sports draft, like the NFL draft, NHL type draft type thing.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. But
I here's the thing is I don't want people coming away from this saying that I'm not interested in seeing where things go. Honestly, I'm not, but that's because a lot of the stuff that was set up at SmackDown was for Crown Jewel and I can't be bothered with Crown Jewel, or it involved part-time people or people that aren't wrestlers, so I don't care.
Well, like, in defense...
That being said, I'm very excited for SmackDown on Fox. I'm very excited. Like, the production side of things was so much better. A two-man commentary booth!
Yes!
They just... Also, you'll notice that it sounded a lot like they were not being fed as much bullshit from backstage and they just let them talk about what was happening in the ring. That I was all very excited about. The problem is the current storylines that are happening in the ring are not for me.
Yeah. Well, it's a twofold thing. One. Yeah. Like you said, they're building up to Crown Jewel because they did announce Cain Velasquez versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE title Crown Jewel. The other, and obviously they did like that Hulk Hogan Ric Flair thing on SmackDown last night was awkward.
So here's the thing, something we didn't talk about during News and Notes is Randy Orton was on a stream.
I was saving that for when we did AEW.
Why?
Because it would have fed into the AEW stuff.
Well, I'm gonna
talk about it. Okay, do it now.
And one of the things that he did on the Switch stream is he dropped the N slur.
Oh, that I did not know about. I knew about the AEW part where he said he liked what he saw and that he liked to wrestle Sammy Guevara.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the other part.
Yeah. He said he dropped the N slur, and at that point. I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Sean Ross Sapp tweeted that Team Hogan's going to put in for a transfer.
Oh, damn. But yeah, the thing with Hogan and Flair was so awkward on SmackDown last night.
You mean when Hogan got his jobber entrance?
Yeah.
He got his entrance during the commercial break.
A lot of that happened last night on SmackDown. A lot of jobber entrances. But one thing, they also did, in a way, promote Hell in a Cell. They did, with the women's tag team match, do the bill for Sasha Becky. And they also did the hints with Charlotte beating back, making Bayley tap out.
Yeah.
So, which was announced today, I believe, that those two are going to wrestle at Hell in a Cell tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You had the thing with The Fiend and Seth Rollins, which is obviously billed for Hell in a Cell. And you had the thing with the Lumberjack match, even as shitty as it was.
It was a good. It was fine to watch.
Yeah,
shitty lumberjack.
Yeah, but despite the shitty lumberjacks, they did its job to build up for the Daniel Bryan Roman Reigns versus Harper Rowan tag team match at Hell in a Cell. So they did build
for sure
to Hell in a Cell. It's just that there's only at the time three matches. Now a fourth match. So it's like. And it's still rumored that apparently Shinsuke Ali is going to happen for the Intercontinental title, but they didn't do jack shit with them to build to a match. Maybe a tag team title match between the New Day and the Revival. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, nobody knows shit for going into tomorrow's Hell in a Cell match, pay-per-view outside of the three that we confirmed know in SmackDown and then the one that got announced today. So,
it was announced
last like night,
midday yesterday.
Oh, Charlotte versus Bayley.
Yeah. Ish.
Well, it went past me because I didn't even see it come through my feed.
Let's see when the thing went live. Yeah, the tweet was 17 hours ago. So.
17 hours ago. Okay, so you're looking at around maybe before SmackDown started.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that didn't even cross my feed. But yet again, I was also working on the Capitals were playing last night and watching SmackDown at the same time. So I was dual screening both of those.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, and, you know, going back to the point of, like, you got caught. Capitals had a moment like that last night where they took a weird bounce.
Let's stick to wrestling, please. Yeah,
but I'm just saying, it's the same thing.
We've just talked about how no one gives a fuck about people from other sports.
Yep. But anyways, the sets are the SmackDown set is awesome.
Yep.
Love it. The Raw entrance music and video is awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that I think the SmackDown music is awesome, but that's because I'm an AC/DC nerd.
I like AC/DC, but the video opener that they have for SmackDown, it's cool, but I didn't feel the vibe for it. Maybe if I see it a couple more times, especially after the draft, because obviously they're promoting wrestlers on both shows in the opening videos. After the draft, it'll become more...
Yeah.
SmackDown centric for their video and Raw centric for the Raw video. So it'll be interesting to see it when you have legitimate brand exclusivity in about a week and a half.
Yeah.
Which will be nice. And I think that's really once we get past the draft, that's when we're really going to
solidify
a lot more solidified stuff. So. Which will be nice. It would be nice to see that.
Yeah.
So, we good with Raw and SmackDown?
Yeah, I think it comes down to a couple of things. They've done these debuts, but Raw and SmackDown don't really start for like another week because they won't have their set rosters, right?
Yeah.
For me, you got to pick a direction on SmackDown. You're either sports or you're entertainment. Pick one. Because you tried to do both last night and it harmed both segments. Spoiler alert, we're recording this on Saturday. Because we've both said, like, last night several times at this point.
And not only that, but for those who actually read the little synopsis, it actually says recorded Saturday, October 5th.
I'm very interested to see how things go. How's that? As I said at the beginning, monumental week for wrestling. It could be great. It could be the start of something brilliant. It could be Tony Khan getting bored in a year and deciding to put those toys back in the cupboard. Who knows, right? But when it comes to the WWE side of things, a lot of people said it was doom and gloom and utter shit and bollocks, and they were wrong. Like, I'm not going to stand here and be like, I'm a WWE fanboy, I'm an AEW fanboy, or whatever. The only show that I have a hard time judging neutrally is NXT. Right? Like, I fucking love that. Like, put it in my veins.
So, real quick, this just popped out. Lawler said some things about this past Monday Night Raw for commentary. Lawler revealed that he is not crazy about being a commentator because of the amount of pressure and preparation that is required to tell the stories and call the in-ring action, which would explain why some of the, there was awkwardness and uncomfortableness from him on this past Monday.
Yeah.
Regarding his return to announcing on Raw, the Hall of Famer revealed that WWE chairman Vince McMahon did not interfere with his commentary during the episode, except when he congratulated all three announcers at the end of the night for doing an awesome job.
Okay.
So just wanted to throw so
that goes your he's being fed theory.
Yeah. So, well, it says that did not. Yeah. So there goes the being fed theory. And it's also been revealed that WWE is offering heavyweight boxer Tyson Fury a live microphone on the show following his confrontation with Braun Strowman for this upcoming Raw.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck.
Yep. So,
quite simply put, call me when that feud's done.
Yep. So,
big people I don't care about.
Yep. So with that, two big people we don't care about, we're going to go to break.
Yep.
This is a special break because this is the audio from when we did our Facebook Live, live from Capital One Arena. And then when we are done with that,
get to hear our buddy Morgan.
Yep. Get to hear Morgan. So when that is done, we'll be back for the official segment 3, where we will go over the Wednesday night war of NXT versus AEW.
Spoiler alert, it's not a war.
Yeah, it's really not. No. So with that, we'll be back after this Facebook Live session.